Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sycamo of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, we are focusing on the offseason outlooks of teams, both positively today. Tomorrow we'll go to the negative side of things, but we wanted to start with, it's a Tuesday. It was actually 50 degrees yesterday in Pennsylvania. I'm in a bright, cheery mood. I was trying to start with the positive things.
Actually 50?
It was actually 50. It hit 50. You could be outside in just like a sweater. It was awesome.
Yikes.
You should try it sometime.
I do without the sweater. I own like two sweaters.
I hate you.
Because I don't need them.
Hate you. Winners in free agents, not just free agency, but winners in the offseason in general for the NFL, because a lot of these things do happen via trade and things like that. And players getting cut. It's Richard Sherman situation and signing with the team before free agency even really kicks off. I think if you're looking at the big winners, my mind goes right to the NFC and teams like Minnesota, the Rams, the Eagles. I think they all got better. I mean, the powerhouses in the NFC all got better already this offseason.
Yeah, a lot of teams seem to pair strength with strength. Especially the Eagles, man. I mean, like, I know we're talking about a Super Bowl roster, and so, like, that's kind of obvious. But, to acquire Michael Bennett and obviously bring in Haloti Ngata when they know that they were going to lose Bo Allen, they knew that they were probably going to have to move on from Curry or just, like, one of their linebackers. Mm-hmm. It ended up being Vinny Curry. But to stay ahead of the curve and to go out and not just be like, okay, well, we need to replace one of these guys, but we're close to the cap floor, so we're going to play it a little. No. They got aggressive and traded for Michael Bennett.
Right.
And not only traded for him, but traded for him and then said, you've got to restructure your deal. And he went, okay, I'll go to Philly and we should restructure my deal. And then they did that. So I think the big winner is definitely Philadelphia, maybe not the top, but yeah, certainly one of the teams that did a lot of good, because it's hard to maintain Super Bowl or playoff dominance, and you know that changes are going to happen every single year. You're not going to be able to bring everybody back, even if it's, you know, like a Super Bowl winning team. It's just the way that it goes. You're going to have people outperforming for their contract. They're going to want to get out. You're going to have free agents, all this kinds of stuff. And so for them to stay ahead of the curve the way that they did, I think was the most impressive part, even maybe more so than the 1-1 additions that they made.
I mean, just to be at 4 deep on your interior D-line and to be at 4, maybe 5, depending on how Elijah Qualls develops, because I think they really were excited about him as a 6th-round pick last year, and then to be 4 or 5 deep on the edge, you know, with Michael Bennett coming in, and you lose Vinny Curry, obviously, but you still got Chris Long, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett. Those last two will be your starters. And then Steven Means, I think, is a good situational pass rusher. But, I mean, to have that kind of depth, that's every team's goal on the front. And then to bring back Nigel Bradham, I thought that was a big move because Hicks is hurt all the time. Kendrick's play was good this year. He's been up and down. He's also been on the trade block. Either way, like, you, Bradham's your stud linebacker. He's your down-to-down consistent guy. And I think that keeping him, absolutely the right move. And then you let guys go that you know you need to let go. Patrick Robinson, you had a great year here, but is that going to continue? You drafted Sidney Jones. You drafted Rasul Douglas, 2nd and 3rd round picks. Those are going to be your guys. You tied yourself to them for the future. You need to see what they can offer. You know, Jalen Mills has been a little bit up and down, but still a solid corner. You have Ronald Darby. So you're crowded at the cornerback position. Robinson had a great year, but don't overpay for him. It could very well be a flash in the pan. The rest of his career kind of indicates it might have been a flash in the pan. You have very few needs if you're the Eagles right now. Finding maybe a future replacement for Malcolm Jenkins could be a possibility. If you trade Kendricks, maybe another outside linebacker, but, you know, we're talking about depth things. Defensively, you're pretty much set in stone. I've talked about how I would love to see them get a versatile pass-catching running back, but the offensive line, the defensive line, set in stone. The quarterback position, set in stone. You've got tons of weapons in the passing game. You've drafted to be able to replace guys that you lose, so Mac Hollins ready to step up now in place of Torrey Smith's absence. So I think this roster very much ready to compete right now. They can supplement a couple things in the draft, but there is just so little pressure on Philadelphia to fill any one need, and so they can focus on best player available so much.
I've got to think that's, you know, you want your team to obviously get as better as you possibly can in free agency, but really the goal of free agency is to allow yourself to pick best player available in the draft at kind of those top 100 picks. Because, you know, we talked about this in our preview of free agency. The elite talents don't hit the market. That's just the way that it is. Pass rushers, pass protectors, quarterbacks, you know, like the really the heavy importance positions, the ones where you see all the money going to, they just don't hit free agency. So how do you get them? You've got to draft them. And so you don't want to go into a draft thinking, man, we've got a huge hole at we've got this huge hole at left guard. We really need a left guard on this team. We're a fringe playoff team. I think if we get a left guard, we can kind of like make the jump. But all of a sudden, like the best pass rusher in the draft or something, or like the second best pass rusher is also there for you. And you don't want your hand to already be forced because of how you did things via free agency. You want to be able to pick the best player available in the draft, especially in that top 100. So I think, yeah, the Eagles and a couple of these other teams that we're going to mention are some teams that definitely did that.
Well, I think that the Rams are kind of like maybe a step behind the Eagles in terms of roster development. They're still kind of building up all those aspects of the roster. But I love the moves that they made this offseason. To bring back LaMarcus Joyner on the tag, terrific move. I thought he was the guy that really was going to be difficult to replace. Then you re-sign Nickell Robey-Coleman to play in the slot. I think he's a really underrated player. You keep Kayvon Webster and Troy Hill as depth pieces and sign Sam Shields, who was out of a year for football. But what the heck? I mean, there's no risk there. He was a good corner when he was playing. And then you bring in Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib to be your starters. I mean, they made this secondary the strength of the team. It was the big weakness coming in. It was the big question mark with three guys as free agents. They find a way to bring back Joyner and Robey-Coleman, even though you move on from Tremaine Johnson. To me, you get two guys that are even better than Johnson and Peters and Talib. Talib, obviously, there'll be at some point a decline in his career, I'm sure. But, man, this is still very, very good secondary. Now, you also moved on from Alec Ogletree and from Robert Quinn, who was your best linebacker and your best edge pass rusher. Mm-hmm. But I don't think either of those guys were really worth what they were paying. You know, they were best, but out of a bad group. So they need to get better at those positions still. I like some of the depth guys they have on the edge. I think their linebacker core is really a mess right now, but it's a deep draft for linebacker. We've talked about maybe Josh Sweat, they could have their eye on him maybe in the first round to find an edge pass rusher. But to me, those are the areas that the Rams still need to get better at, but I really like what they did this offseason.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. Certainly, they had a lot of the offense figured out with McVay last year, and this year was definitely kind of the defensive switch up. And they're giving Wade Phillips a lot of stuff to work with. He's now got Wade Phillips now has two shutdown corners that he can play on an island, like both of them, and he can he can throw everything but the kitchen sink basically at the pocket when you have guys who are like that. And if you're creative with it, then you can be a really disruptive defense. I mean, imagine if Ndamukong Suh goes to the Rams.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
It would be Donald and Sue. Whoever they pick at 23 is going to be an edge rusher.
Or linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, something. And then you would have those two cornerbacks on the outside. That would be... Can you imagine if Harold Landry fell to 23?
Oh my goodness! That's what happened yesterday in our mock draft. By the way,
it was Donald. It was Donald, Sue, Landry, Peters, Talib on the same team.
Not to mention Joyner and John Johnson's going to be a really good player for them.
Yep,
that's a stud group.
That would be incredible.
Oh my goodness! And then add anybody in this deep class at linebacker.
You could play linebacker.
I mean, I could.
I've seen how many wings you can put down.
That's right. That's the only requirement. The Vikings didn't do a ton, but I loved what they did. I mean, the biggest holes for the Vikings coming in were interior offensive line, three technique defensive tackle because they were probably losing Tom Johnson, and a quarterback with Kirk Cousins coming in, obviously, now. You know, I mean, all three of their quarterbacks are free agents. They let them all walk. How many teams that made it to what? What were they in? Were they in the NFC Championship game? I'm trying to remember now.
Yes.
It was the Aaron's Jam. How many teams were in the NFC Championship game move on from all their quarterbacks on their roster the next year? I mean, that's
very
unusual.
Very few lists.
Which shows how much they did with this. And what I love about what the Vikings did is it's not just the players that they added. And I think Kirk Cousins and Sheldon Richardson, you know, I love Tom Johnson. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. But Sheldon Richardson's a top 10 defensive tackle in the NFL. I mean, to add him to that defensive line is terrifying. You know, Kirk Cousins is the best guy they've had at quarterback for a long time. But I think that even more impressive was adding John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. You know, you go from a guy like Pat Shurmur and what Shurmur brought to the table, but adding an offensive coordinator like DeFilippo with the success that he's had and how many of his schemes have proven to be really successful in the NFL, I really love that move from Minnesota. And it shows that, you know, not only do they value coaching staff, but guys want to come here. Like, guys want to play for the Vikings in Minnesota. I know you can't relate to that, to wanting to be in Minnesota, but that's what it looks like. This is a desirable location right now.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I thought Minnesota, you and I have talked about this a little bit already, but Minnesota's got one of the best rosters in the NFL. No question.
Yeah. I mean, it's
they made it far in the playoffs to show that. And really, it's weird to say that they were a quarterback away. I mean, I guess the Jaguars were as well, but man, they fixed that in a big way. I think Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I think I'm thinking. Within the next 3 years, I'm thinking Minnesota. A lot can happen, but I think Minnesota's winning a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. I think it's going
to
happen.
I tend to agree with you as well. At least going to be in one, I'd say. The Bears also really impressed me. I like what they did because they matched for Kyle Fuller when Green Bay tried to sign him to the offer sheet. I like that move because I think Fuller, it's somewhat risky because he's been banged up, but when he's healthy, man, he's a really good corner, and he's flashed enough, and last year was such a good year for him.
Also, that's a power move by Green Bay.
Yeah. You know, you don't see that often.
You go to a division team who you have watched sign a lot of really good free agents, and you force their hand and make them pay up for one of their guys. I liked that move a lot from Green Bay's side because it's either Green Bay gets the cornerback that they want and they get Kyle Fuller, or they force a divisional opponent to spend, what was it? Yeah, how much in the cap? Whatever.
I forget, but it was a good chunk. It was a long deal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, like, I wonder why we don't see that power move more in the NFL.
I think it's because, you know, and this is always the complaint with the NHL, too, and I don't know how much it carries over to the NFL, but I agree that I think it should happen. But they say in the NHL, anyway, that guys don't want to offend the other team's organization because they won't do business with them in the future.
Screw that.
I said, don't be afraid to be great, my man.
Like, especially in the NHL, I could somewhat understand that, but not in the NFL. Like, the Bears and the Packers are never doing deals anyways.
Yeah,
who cares? It's the Bears and the Packers. They're not going to help each other out.
Right. Go get your guys.
I love it. I love being a dick to the other teams in the division.
Yeah, why not? The Bears, but it wasn't. It was just outside of the Fuller thing. You know, they brought in Trey Burton. I like Trey Burton. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, this elite tight end or anything like that. But remember, they drafted Jaheen. Zach Miller's future is really kind of up in the air. And this is just kind of a guy that can be a piece for them. You know, I think that Matt Nagy, coming from Kansas City, sees Burton as being able to do at least some of the things. I'm not saying he is Travis Kelce, but he's going to bring some of the things that Kelce brings to the table. You know what? This is one of the most fun aspects of the offseason to me, is seeing these offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators go to different places, get head coaching gigs, and then try and find the players that made their systems work. And you can start to envision what role these guys are going to be in at the next level or with their new team. For Burton, I think he's going to be flexed a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets in Chicago. He's a capable blocker, too, so I love that signing. I like Taylor Gabriel being able to play in the slot, offer some speed when he's outside. Allen Robinson is the wild card in all this, but I think it's a good risk to take because I think he's a big-time receiver. If he's good. I mean, this is a top 20 receiver in the NFL. The Bears just didn't have anything, man, and they have lots of space. You got to take those kind of chances. You know, I think every sign from Robinson's recovery seems like it's pointing in the right direction. That's a big-time addition. That's giving your team a true number one receiver. I don't think he's a guy that necessarily is going to do it all, but if you can supplement some talent around him, and Gabriel and Burton's a nice start, you've got Cameron Meredith coming back. He showed some promise before he got hurt. I think they put a tender on Josh Bellamy. I forget what it was. So they kind of like some things Bellamy has to offer. I think this is a team that's headed in the right direction with their skill unit, and it was good to see them be aggressive in that area.
Yep. No, I agree. I like all the moves a lot.
And they let go of Mike Glennon. So, I mean,
Yeah.
They also brought back Prince Amukamara. That was a little bit interesting to me. I didn't expect that. I'll be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you kind of have to. Like, you can't.
I mean, I don't know. Hate him or anything. I just was
right. A bit surprised. I mean, this doesn't take cornerback off the table for them. But, you know, again, setting yourself up to be able to take whoever you want to take when the draft rolls around, especially at number eight, especially picking the top 10. You don't want to let Prince Mukamara go, have this gaping hole at cornerback, or signing a mid-tier free agent corner who is still an unknown for you. Like, if you bring in a really big talent like a Marcus Peters, like an Aqib Talib, or like a Richard Sherman, something like that, you know what you're probably going to get out of those guys at corner.
Yeah.
If you were to kind of like wait and you weren't going to go big money in on those guys, then even if you sign a new guy, like a different guy, because you don't think Mukamara played well last year or something like that, you still don't know. There's still that unknown. Mm-hmm. So you still could be staring at that number eight pick in the NFL draft and being like, oh crap, we have to pick a corner.
Right.
Now, at least they have a Mukamara. They can still pick a corner if they want, like if they love Denzel Ward or something at number eight. But, I mean, say if, I don't know, like Quentin Nelson drops to them, or, you know, even like Bradley Chubb, if they want to do something like that, then they've allowed themselves to pick those kinds of guys. So,
right. Yeah. Thoughts? No, I think it's a good point. But all the teams we're mentioning are on the NFC side of things, because I have a hard time being really impressed with much that the AFC did. I love the Jaguars signing Andrew Norwell because it was their biggest need for sure. I like them being aggressive there. I didn't like them letting Colvin go and signing DJ Hayden to big money because I don't think he's very good at all. But you know, for the most part, that's obviously still going to be a really good team, and they fortified their one big weakness with the best guy that was available. You know, we talked a little bit about the Titans before, you and I did off air, you know, about what their moves were. I mean, I'm a little bit skeptical about Malcolm Butler, but he's clearly an upgrade over, you know, he's an upgrade over what the Titans have. No, I mean, there's no question. You know, him and Adoree Jackson on the outside with Logan Ryan moving back to the slot, it makes two positions better because Butler's an upgrade over LeSean Sims, and Ryan gets to move back inside where I think he's played his best football, better football than what he played last year for Tennessee. I don't know whether he's going to be this lockdown star, though. I don't think he's that. I don't think Butler's really ever been that, to be honest. I think the reputation kind of got out of hand a little bit, but he's still a good corner. He can still start in the NFL. He's still better than LeSean Sims, and sometimes you got to pay for those kind of guys. And so,
what do you think about the Giants?
I mean,
they added Latimer and Nate Solder, and
I don't get Cody Latimer. I don't know what Cody Latimer and Kareem Martin. I mean, they gave Kareem Martin absurd amount of money, and he like has not done anything in 4 years in the NFL. I don't understand that move whatsoever. Josh Morrow is a really interesting signing for them. Not at all the type of player that the Giants typically would bring on board, but it's a good indication that the new regime's in place, and you know, this isn't the same defense we've seen in the past. And I mean, Morrow's typically played as a five technique, you know, as a 3-4 defensive end, a very early downs guy, and obviously one of Betcher's guys. So I get why they're in here from that purpose, but it just makes me wonder, what's he going to do with this defense? Are they going to be more multiple in their fronts? And so clearly Betcher liked some of what Kareem Martin showed when he switched to inside linebacker. And so we'll see. That much money I was surprised by. But I do like the additions on the offensive line. You know, I think Patrick, I don't know how to say his last name, Omeme, something like that. he was okay for Jacksonville last year. And Nate Solder, you know, Nate Solder's not elite, you know, but he's a solid average left tackle in the NFL, and he goes to a quick release quarterback. He can work in what the Giants have to offer offensively. You know, certainly if you look at Pat Shurmur and what he brought in last year for the Vikings, I mean, they brought in Remmers and Riley Reiff, and neither of those guys are elite either, but his offense works with guys who can do just enough at tackle. You know, just don't get TJ Clemmings beat. That's all you can ask for. And Solder's really good at hanging on for dear life. So I like the signing for the Giants in that way. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a big splash or anything. And what do they do with Ereck Flowers now? That's the big question to me. You know, what happens there? But, I mean, I like the things they did from that perspective. Losing Weston Richburg, I think, hurts, because I think if Richburg's healthy, he's one of the better centers in the league. I know that hasn't been the case necessarily recently, but might have been a risk I was willing to take given the state of their interior O-line. And
I think the Bucs had a low-key good free agency period.
They did. Like, they came in late, but yeah, yeah.
That was the thing, is that, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, see, like, patience paid off. And it's like, okay, yeah, it definitely did. I think it definitely did for the Buccaneers in this regard. But I think they're kind of lucky that Vinny Curry became available.
I was pounding the table for that for weeks. I was like, why aren't the Bucs getting Vinny Curry? Like,
right. I think they're pretty lucky Vinny Curry became available. They still ran the risk of not improving their offensive line at all if they weren't able to get Jensen. But I mean, again, yeah, it all worked out for them. So sure. They got rid of Chris Baker, Doug Martin, Robert Ayers, three of their really big contract guys that severely underproduced from last season,
and brought in a lot of different guys. That's a big part of this.
And brought in a lot of new guys who are hopefully, you know, as they're advertised, as the other guys weren't last year. And so I really do think that the Bucks low key signings, but I thought they had a great free agency period.
Yeah, it was solid, I think. I mean, Jensen definitely makes you better, no question. I mean, I don't know if again, it always comes back to, are these guys worth the money they're getting paid? Like, everybody freaks out about that. I mean, man, there's a million ways to construct these deals so you're getting 1 to 2 years of solid play. You just can't sign guys who are average to below average to huge money. And, you know, Jensen's an ascending player. You're taking some type of a risk 1 year as a starter.
A little bit, yeah.
Really good. But it's some level of a risk. That's part of the deal here.
Yeah, no, and I mean, to go back to that philosophy, the Buccaneers went into free agency addressing both their offensive and their defensive line to allow themselves to be able to pick whoever they want. I think that they know that there's a pretty good chance that Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson could be available for them at number 7, and they wanted to make sure they didn't have to force their hand whichever way, whichever guy kind of fell to them. So they improved a little bit in both trenches beforehand, and, you know, hopefully we'll continue to upgrade that in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny Curry's not going to be like a 10-11 sack guy for you or anything like that, but he's a better upgrade than what they have on the team, and he's a guy you can play every down and not feel like worried about him per se, as long as you have other guys to bounce out, and I'm sure they'll draft guys. So I liked it. Yeah, I liked what they did. How about Cleveland before we wrap up? I mean, the Cleveland situation, they're going to get a lot of talk because they did a lot of different things. I like them bringing in Jarvis Landry. I think Demarius Randall has potential. He's just so hot and cold, and now switching back to another position. Yeah. Not sure I feel about it. I didn't like trading a third for Tyrod Taylor, but then I would have drafted Josh Rosen number one and just started him. So, I mean, I guess when you're going to draft Sam Darnold, it helps to have a guy in place to transition because he'll need maybe a little more time. I mean, they already said Tyrod Taylor's the starter, no question. So, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of everything that Cleveland did, but I think that it's hard to say they didn't get better. You know, yeah, they have tons of money. You got to take some chances. I can't knock it. I think that's the biggest thing for me is, like, I'm not going to go out and say, yeah, he shouldn't have made any of those moves. None of those guys are worth it. Like, Landry definitely helps the offense. Like, as much as Landry gets slandered, he helps the offense.
I think they're probably gonna get Terrell Pryor too. So,
yeah.
However you view Terrell Pryor, I think him in a wide receiver room with Landry and then Josh Gordon, I think is pretty decent.
It's better for sure. Yeah, much better.
Oh, and Corey Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he doesn't get traded, or I guess he's not going to at this point. It seems like. Chris Smith was a good situational interior rusher that they added. I like that move by them a lot. And Carlos Hyde, I think that he's still a solid running back. He just can't stay healthy. I don't think he can be the only guy, but you know, you got to have insurance. Again, this is what you talked about. Like, you don't know what scenarios are going to come up at number 4 where you could potentially trade back and not land a running back early on in the draft or really any point in the draft. I mean, I know they have a lot of picks and they're probably planning on taking it back, but you don't know who's going to slide. So put yourself in a position where it isn't a crying need for you. And you're in a good position moving forward. And I think they did that at offensive tackle, too, with Chris Hubbard, a guy that can play left or right side, can play inside. You know, at the very least, he's a good sixth offensive lineman. He probably starts at right tackle and is better than Sean Coleman right now. So I like what they did in that regard because they gave themselves some flexibility, depending on what happens in the draft, to be able to move in a couple different directions. You hear that siren?
No.
You can't hear that?
No.
Yeah, when there's a fire alarm in the town that I live in, they don't just, like, you know, send out the fire trucks like normal human beings and like actual, you know, real civilization. They send sound in a fire alarm that can be heard throughout the entire countryside. It's great. It's great when you have a baby that's sleeping all the time. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I love it. The sound of social regression. It's phenomenal.
It seems a little, that seems a little extreme of them. Like, I could see if it was like a tornado warning.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's
like,
not. It's just... Right. It just could be anything. It could be like an accident on the road.
Hey, your pitch caught on fire. I want you guys to all know about it.
Yeah, right. It's completely pointless. Anyway, that's my rant for today. There's your teams that impressed us in free agency. We didn't get to everybody, obviously. You know, there's still teams that did one or two things. You know, I like some of the things San Francisco did. But tomorrow we'll really talk about, I think, in depth about the teams that didn't do enough or we didn't like the moves that they made. We'll put it that way. So there's a good number of them as well. So until then, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.